I trust that you'll be able to read these. We have a number of Proverbs, and we are going to be looking at these. Each session we'll be looking at five different Proverbs. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 31:10. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Proverbs 31:10. Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. Now would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Most of you are aware of the fact that we are studying through God's Word, dealing with the subject, finding Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. I'm sure that most of you would have enjoyed staying a lot longer in each one of these books, and especially in Psalms. We only took 3 sessions for the book of Psalms. I'm not going to promise you that it'll just be 3 on Proverbs, but so far our plans are to deal with Proverbs in a very brief fashion. We're going to deal with the subject today of comprehending Proverbs. A good subject, comprehending Proverbs. We'll be reading in a few moments the first 5 verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Our purpose for being here is to study God's Word while our hearts are in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we spend a few moments in silent prayer before we begin our service, because we are aware of the fact that we cannot properly receive God's Word if our hearts are not right with our wonderful Lord. And that's the reason why we know that the Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today for the magnificent, wonderful blessings that you give us every single day. We bow to express our thanks today for salvation, which we have found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realizing that there is no other way of salvation than through Jesus, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. We're fully aware of the fact that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We're thankful for the privilege which is ours to have that knowledge. We're thankful for the joy, the peace, the happiness, the contentment of soul. And we thank you that you've given us an opportunity again to look into your wonderful Word and to realize how important it is to find ourselves being the recipients of divine viewpoint. We're to see as God sees. We're to see from a vertical viewpoint. We're not to be horizontally minded. We're not to look upon things in a human fashion. So we pray that in these brief moments we're together, we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 5. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge, and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. It seems to me that these verses are so powerful that we need to look at them over and over and over again to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity. Verse 4, to give prudence to the naive, to the young people, youth, knowledge, and discretion. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. As we begin our study today, let me quickly tell you that we have already read the first five verses of Proverbs chapter 1. We must ask the question this morning, what are Proverbs? Before we can properly study this magnificent book, a proverb has been described as a short, pithy, axiomatic saying designed primarily to present repetition of practical thoughts in such a manner and form as to stick in the mind. Now, you'll notice that definition, and I trust that some of you will take it down and remember to read it time and time again. A proverb has been described as a short, pithy, axiomatic saying designed primarily to present repetition of practical thoughts in such a manner and such a form as to stick in the mind. Number one, the book of Proverbs is part of the Bible's wisdom literature. So we come to the question, what exactly are Proverbs? There are actually three books in the Bible that belong to the category of wisdom literature. One of those books is our book we're studying now, Proverbs, which is the basis of our study for a few sessions. The other two books of wisdom literature are Job, which we have studied in the past, and Ecclesiastes, which we shall find and look at in the future, which is classified as a book that presents a darker side, a more cynical side of wisdom. Number two, let's consider again a definition of the word Proverbs. You may wonder why I'm doing this, because I want you to understand that the purpose of our service today is to comprehend Proverbs. Proverbs are short, memorable sayings whose meanings are relevant to many different situations. As we study through some of these very special verses that we're going to select from Proverbs, we're going to see that Proverbs are short, memorable sayings whose meanings are relevant to many different situations. If you remember the movie Forrest Gump, we're going to talk a little bit about Gumpisms. In that movie, there were proverbs. Life is like a box of chocolates. Some of you remember that. You never know what you're going to get. That's a proverb. We also know that stupid is as stupid does. That's a proverb. Every society has its own set of proverbs that represent the collective wisdom of that specific society. Consider these examples that come from our culture. Look before you leap. Easy come, easy go. A penny saved is a penny earned. Live one day at a time. These are proverbs that we use time and time again. Number three, the Bible book of Proverbs represents the collective wisdom of ancient Israel. And because as Christians we believe the whole Bible is inspired by God, the collective wisdom of Proverbs represents God's angle on the subject of wisdom. Most of the Proverbs come, as we all know, from King Solomon, the guy who was the king of Israel during Israel's golden reign. But Proverbs also has wise saying and sayings from other people as well. Number four, it's likely that the book of Proverbs started as a book to help parents instruct their kids in life skills. I can't help but tell you that on the television this morning, I saw a mother who was going to take back her family and become the authority in her family, and she was standing there with a shotgun and an axe. Some of you probably saw that, and I won't interrupt my thinking in about that situation, but I thought it was quite unique. It's likely that the Proverbs started as a book to help parents instruct their kids in life skills. In fact, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs present a father instructing his son in having to live wisely in the world. So Proverbs was originally a presentation or presenting a strategy as moms and dads to, for them to try to properly equip their children to live God-centered, successful lives according to the grain of God's creation. I pause for a moment to tell you that what I did when I was preparing this, I could see that God has a plan for parents, and that parents' responsibility is to train their children in the proper fashion. It is also likely that Proverbs later became a textbook in ancient Israel to prepare people to serve as leaders. In this sense, it was a textbook for equipping emerging leaders who could serve as advisors in government. By the time of King Solomon, there were several counselors of sages who were known for their common sense and wisdom. Now, number 5. It's important now for us to understand how to apply the wise sayings from the Proverbs to our lives. It's wonderful for us to be able to study God's Word. I'm aware of the fact that some of you wanted to stay in Psalms a lot longer. Someone arrived this morning to say, what psalm are we going to be in today? And I said, well, that's last week. Now we're in Proverbs. I'm aware of the fact that we could stay in Psalms for a couple of years. We could stay in Proverbs for a couple of years. But our purpose now is to present the Lord Jesus Christ in all of these Old Testament books. The sayings we find in the book of Proverbs are generalizations about what's true and the application of that truth. We could classify this as guidelines for wise living, but we should resist in turning them into rigid, absolute promises. We have to be so careful when we study God's Word. We can discover that many times people try to make God's Word say what they want it to say. Have you ever noticed that? Many times we try to make God's Word say what we want it to say. And so I wanted to show you something. This saying tells us that what usually works in most circumstances. When you find your way studying these Proverbs, you're going to discover some things, and you will say, is that really true? Will that really work out? And I have to tell you that I have to say again, these things work out normally. So, but the Proverbs don't always work out in every single instance. In the fact, the book of Job and the book of Ecclesiastes both deal with those situations when these wise sayings don't seem to work out. Now you say, preacher, why would you go this way? Because I want you to see that people don't need to try to make God's Word say what they want it to say. That's the reason why I've turned a little bit in this direction. We should read Proverbs as if these wise sayings are absolute promises or laws. For example, one proverb tells us, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That's Proverbs 15:1. I want to ask you a question. Do you think that always works? A gentle answer always turns away wrath? That's true most of the time, but it's a generalization. It's not always true. But all things being equal, it's true in more circumstances than it is not true. Are you following what I'm saying? Please understand. So it makes sense to give a gentle answer when someone's really mad. I think I ought to repeat that. I'm not sure you got it. It makes sense to give a gentle answer when someone's really mad. But this proverb is not a guarantee that a general answer will always diffuse anger. I would practice it, though, if I were you, because I believe it works most of the times. But in case you happen to have this situation come your way and it doesn't work that way, don't get mad at God. Let me give you another example. One of the Proverbs tells us, the years of the wicked will be short. The years of the wicked will be short. In other words, what that is saying is, if a person lives like the devil, they're not going to live very long. Is that what it really means? Okay. The years of the wicked will be short. Proverbs 10:27. That's true more often than not, but it's not true every single case and every single time. In most cases, however, a lifestyle of wickedness cuts a person's lifespan short. Are you aware of that? That's true. That's what we know from God's Word. That's what we know from observation. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, we notice, as Ecclesiastes observes, this isn't true in every single case. We're all aware of the fact that sometimes people live like the devil, and yet they live to be extremely old. We have to conclude that God has a reason for those old devils to stay on this earth. In case you are involved with someone like that, and you think it's time for them to go, let me tell you something. They may be around longer than you, because it appears that there's a reason for their continuing to exist. A proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. I want to give you some more definitions because I feel like it's important for us to have this before we really get into some specific verses. A proverb is a short statement that encapsulates wisdom. Proverbs are short sayings that take the place of long explanation. Have you ever been around someone who has a small subject, but they take a long time to talk about it? Now, don't give any testimonies today. All of us are aware of the fact that sometimes people get involved in a story and they just go on and on and on and on and on and on. Proverbs are short sayings that take the place of a long explanation. You folks are so silent today. I don't know what you're thinking. You may be, please ask God to forgive you for thinking that way. You're already thinking about someone or someone's. Please get back in fellowship now and leave those people alone, will you please? Proverbs are short sayings that take the place of a long explanation. Look at this again. Proverbs are practical, timeless, relevant. Proverbs are short sayings that teach us how to live life skillfully from God's viewpoint. In other words, as we find ourselves studying these Proverbs, we're going to see that God is giving us a message over and over again in a short fashion that teaches us how to live skillfully, how we can live according to God's plan. And as I thought about this, I became very, very reverent in my thinking. I want to show you what was happening to me. As I began to enter into the Proverbs, I came to the conclusion that somehow I'm now entering inspired royalty. I want you to see what took place as I made preparation for this message. I came to the conclusion that I was entering inspired royalty. I was moving into something very, very extremely precious and very special for us. The Proverbs. When we enter the book of Proverbs, we're entering into inspired royalty. Here we find secrets of wisdom that have been collected and preserved. Solomon, the rich and wise king of Israel, son of beloved David, is going to be teaching us. What was amazing to me was when I began to look back again at Solomon and when I began to look back at David, it took me back to my teaching to you in 1 and 2 Kings. I was amazed that I found my notes in relationship to Solomon. Most of you are aware of the fact that there are many things good said about Solomon, but there are some other things that have been said about Solomon that are not all that great. Solomon, the rich and wise king of Israel, son of beloved David, is going to be teaching us. In other words, we stand before the open door of knowledge. We stand before the open door of honor. We stand before the door, the open door of riches. And we stand before the open door of life itself. Words from God. How wonderful to know that you and I have the wonderful privilege of getting words from God. We're royal family members. We're members of God's family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And here we come to a magnificent book, and we're entering into inspired royalty. Words from God, learned and proven and written down by the world's greatest analyst and philosopher. Oh, you know what this did to me? Man, when I looked at that word philosopher, my mind jumped into the Greek. How about that? It's easy for that to happen, isn't it? And I got to thinking about philosophy, the word philosophy. And I immediately was aware of the fact that that word, philosophy, is made up of two words. And I got to thinking about it again. When I studied Greek many, many, many years ago, I found out that there were four different words that we could use in relationship to the subject of love. I saw one, for instance, it's not used in the New Testament. We all know about it, eros, from which we get erotic. And also there's the word storge, which has to do with family love. And then there is agape, and all of us are familiar with that one because of John 3:16. But then there's the beautiful word philos, P-H-I-L-O-S. And then I looked at it, and I saw that philosophy is love, Sophia is wisdom. And so I got to thinking about this and I said, you know, I need to tell those people again. I've said this before, but I want you to see philosophy then, because philos is a word which actually means rapport. So it means rapport. And Sophia is the word for love, for wisdom. So it's love for wisdom. Now you ought to put that down somewhere, because it's a good one to know in the light of where we are in our study. Now, some of you are saying, do you really believe that? Is that really true? Okay, here it is. There's the word love, philos. You read it with me if you want to in the Greek, because many of you can do this. P-H-I-L-O-S, philos. It's not agape, it's not storge, it is not eros, it is philos, which we define and describe as love, but rapport. Sophos, as you remember, is the word for wisdom. Now, can I tell you again that this emphasis here is that we're studying now that which has been written down by the world's greatest analyst and philosopher. Question. And you're saying, what are you doing to us? What is a proverb? Consider the definition. Consider the nature of a proverb. The English word, according to Oxford English Dictionary, means three things. One, have you heard this before? Sure. A short, pithy saying in common and recognized use. A concise sentence, often metaphorical form, which is held, and let's look at it, which is held to express some truth ascertained by experience or observation and familiar to all. Now, I have to tell you that when I looked that up, I said, You know what? I need to talk about that a little bit. The first definition is given of a proverb, a short, pithy saying. Now, I'd already been across that. I knew that one. A short, pithy saying in common and recognized use. A concise sentence, often metaphorical in form, which is held to express some truth ascertained by experience or observation and familiar to all. An adage. Then I found the next definition. A common word or phrase of contempt or reproach, a byword. Then I found the third one. A rarical or enigmatic saying. Now, I want you to know that I had a hard time pronouncing those, and so what I do, I'll look it up on the internet on how to pronounce it. And then I try to remember how it was pronounced. Now, do you ever do that? Do you ever learn how to pronounce a word, and then you get away from it, and you forget how it was pronounced, and you go back and get it again? And so I got this first word, oracular. I got it. Do you know I worked on that, oracular. What does that word mean? It means prophetical or predictive. The word enigmatic is the word which means mysterious. Now, we're not going to try to pronounce those words again because I probably would fail, but I want you to see that it says that the proverb is a prophetical, predictive, mysterious saying that requires interpretation, an allegory, a parable. The Bible uses the word proverb in all three of these ways, and it contains all three types of proverbs. What I've discovered is that Solomon's Book of Proverbs, the Spirit of God through Solomon, contains all three kinds that I've just described for you. Proverbs can be difficult to understand. As the definition shows, they're often metaphorical, which means that they use figurative and not literal words. And they are often enigmatic, which means they were composed intentionally with obscure metaphors or other figures of speech to challenge the reader to discover the hidden meaning. Now, the reason why I'm going over this is because I want you to see that when you come to the study of the book of Proverbs, you have to be able to see it in the light. They can be obscure. At times, Proverbs can be perplexing by design, which in reality gives them unique appeal and beauty and force. Now, you say, why are you saying all of that? Because I found out something from Jesus. It's just good to find something from Jesus. I found something from Jesus about Proverbs. Now, this tells me that Jesus is found in the book of Proverbs, but I want you to know that Jesus said some things specifically about Proverbs. Jesus and his disciples show the difficulty of understanding Proverbs. When you go to John chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs." This is Jesus speaking. "These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." Sometimes when you read the scripture, you cannot help but smile, and sometimes you laugh when you find some things that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that you normally don't think about. In John 16:25, these disciples were in wonderment, and Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." And then in John 16:29, his disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb." You didn't know those scriptures were there, did you? Jesus knew that the Proverbs were not plain speech, and the disciples also understood the same. So to know the full and correct meaning and application, there must be careful analysis and interpretation. We are not to be intimidated by the Proverbs. But we're to be challenged by our very brief study that we're going to have in this wonderful book. And we'll begin that in detail in the next session. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you so much for the fact that we realize that every book of the Bible is important. And the book of Proverbs is a very important book for us. We are thankful that you've given to us the magnificent teaching of this great, wonderful book, God's Word. We realize that we live in a time when we can be in harmony and fellowship with our Lord, and the Spirit of God gives to us the ability to comprehend the Proverbs. We thank you for the opportunity which is ours now to begin this study and analyze these beautiful verses, realizing that you have so much for us in your wonderful Word. We're thankful for the fact that the Word of God teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And we became the recipient of that gift of salvation when we accepted you as our personal Savior. We pray that there will be those listening to this message today who will do that very thing, realizing their need, realizing their lost condition, realizing that there's only one way of salvation. May they understand that Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And we realize that no one can come to God the Father except through Jesus. We're thankful for that. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. The meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Pleasing to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Think on these Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, pleasing.